Alright, time for drexx.com. Whoa. Debate physics.com also. Yay. Anyway, no debaters, unfortunately. So we just have to make the conversation. So this is example three, demonstrating that the kinetic energy theory doesn't have any viability as a true scientific theory. There's no evidence, no physical evidence. All the evidence is in what they call the form of a proof, a derivative, math, circular math. We say this much went in, we say this much came out. They just say it. We don't prove it. So there is some evidence available, some experimental, videoed, archived evidence in these little experiments. And so this is a Mythbusters episode where they basically proved there's no evidence of 1/2 mv squared. It should be there. It's not there. The experiments don't show it. Now, that's not the show they did. Now, even though that's what they proved, they broke the myth of kinetic energy. They didn't pay any attention to that, okay? Instead, made a preposterous, proof of the fact that, somehow two 50-mile-an-hour crashes, two cars coming at 50 miles an hour crashing into each other, there was a person right there, he would feel it as a 100-mile-an-hour crash. And they proved that isn't true, when, of course, it is true. So it's such a bad episode in terms of their logic and reasoning and the bad science, but it's a good episode in the sense that it's a pretty good experiment demonstrating demonstrating there's no sign of 1/2 mv squared, no sign that energy moves in that form, no sign that it's a correct theory. Okay. So this is a pretty simple experiment. As you lift objects in gravity, they can gain more velocity. And so to get twice the velocity, you lift something four times as high. And so you're just focusing on the fact that you're gaining twice the velocity in a mass. And so the idea is they're going to crush a piece of clay at one velocity, 50 miles an hour, and then at 100 miles an hour, and see if there's a difference in what happens to the clay. Now, the clay does exactly what would be expected by logic, in the sense that, it's 100 miles an hour is twice as much energy. It's twice as much weight. You've taken an object, moving it at twice the speed is ending up going to be twice the weight. Same thing would be happening if you're pushing something. You push it with twice the force, it moves twice as fast, it has twice the weight. That's the way it works. That's the way energy works. So the experiment pretty much proves the case. So it's a pretty, like I said, it's a pretty good experiment. And we will, for the sake of argument, store their arguments. Let me just fix the volume here so we don't have any troubles with you hearing them, because their conversation is kind of important, especially in the next video clip. All right, that didn't work very well.
I think that's a lot more.
Yep, and the measurements hammer that home.
0.777. It's a little bit less than twice as compressed.
All right, and by a little bit less, we're talking about hundredths. Okay, on his measurement, so it's really, really close to exactly twice the compression. So twice the velocity, twice the compression. 1/2 mv squared predicts that twice the velocity equals four times the compression. So no evidence of the four times the compression, no evidence of the kinetic energy theory being correct. Twice the velocity, twice the pressure, twice the weight, twice the compression, not four times. It doesn't take four times as much fuel to go twice as fast. That's what their theory says. I can't find any evidence on the internet. Nothing. There's just no evidence. So if somebody can find this pieces of evidence, that would be great. Now, I'm sure there's probably somebody who has an electric motor and they have an amp meter on it, or they're measuring its voltage and amperage, and so it's wattage, how much energy it's using. And they go from, 1,000 revolutions per second to 2,000 revolutions. And no doubt they only use twice as much energy, maybe less, because of certain efficiencies. So there'll be no evidence that takes four times the energy to move something twice as fast. There is no evidence. Bowlers don't use 8-pound bowling balls thrown twice as fast because they don't knock down more pins. They should, by physics. The lighter the ball, the more pins you're going to knock down because you can throw it with a higher velocity. No evidence that happens in the real world. No evidence football players are getting smaller and smaller, and moving faster and faster. Every bit of evidence that they're getting heavier and heavier and moving slower and slower.
As the Speed 1X hit.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
So they say it makes sense, and yet, physics says it should be four times. So even though it makes sense to them, that is how life works, frankly. It's just a fact. Now, so they did this experiment. Now, the next experiment do they do with actual cars. So they crash the actual cars. Right, and they crash a 50-mile-an-hour crash with the same car into a brick wall, and it compresses this much. All right, the car crushes a certain amount, and then they go at 100 miles an hour. The car should crush four times as much, but again, it's almost exactly twice as much. So even big, giant objects tested don't show any evidence of the kinetic energy theory. No evidence of the four times the energy in the object moving twice as fast. No, zero, zip evidence. All right, so we'll play this other clip. You can see this, right? Yes, you can. All right, this is just for the speech value. And I have played this before, but I think you can stand a little bit of redundancy.
This may just seem like some gratuitous violence, but there's actually some really interesting science going on when you compare these two impacts. You would think that doubling the speed would give you twice the severity of the impact, but...
Yeah, so you would think it's twice the severity, right? So why would you think that when it's a 300-year-old... Everybody should already intuitively know, no, it's four times. Well, you think it because everywhere in real life you don't see this four times. You don't see it. It doesn't happen. You don't realize that you're completely running out of gas way too soon when you go fast, because you don't run out of gas sooner. In fact, you save a little bit of gas going faster.
The physics says you're actually looking at more like four times the severity of the impact.
So four times is not like a little bit. It's twice as much, right? So it's off by a full giant half here, okay? It's twice as much compression. Twice as much is missing. It's not like a little bit is missing. This isn't like it's a little bit off. It's 50% off of where it should be. And there really isn't any good excuse for this absence of what should be obvious. So I think in this case, they have 100 mile an hour on one side and a 50 mile an hour on the other side.
Our sensors are showing three times the G's and...
All right, so let's understand, three times the G's doesn't mean anything because obviously their sensors can't do this. Okay, it's not possible to measure your G forces in a collision because there's no place you can put your G-force sensor where it's actually going to measure the full impact. It's always going to be part of the xylophone. It's going to be moving. And if it moves, it can't measure the total impact. So it's always going to be short.
Our wreckage is showing about twice the damage. So what's going
on? No, about twice the damage. It's almost exactly twice the damage. Okay, they did the measurements. It's pretty much exactly twice the damage.
What's going on here? Well, just like this can.
Okay, so he just did. Let's just understand. So they had already done the experiment with the clay, where the numbers came out so perfectly. I mean, it's within, you know, 0.01%. I mean, the margin of error is very little. The margin of variance from exactly right. And so he did the clay experiment. He's done the car experiment. And now he's going to say the reason why the results didn't come out the way they're 50% off. So the reason why the results are 50% off, okay, what physics says, 50% error. The reason why is because the clay is like a tin can, and it, you know, it gets harder to crush as you make it smaller. Well, these cars aren't showing that. There's no evidence that you've reached, you know, that they picked the exactly perfect miles per hour where you can't crush the car anymore. There's no evidence of that. It's 50. Is, you know, 50 miles an hour does this much, 100 miles an hour does the half, crushes even more. So I mean, twice as much exactly, almost exactly. There's no evidence that it's getting harder to crush by momentum standard. It's coming out perfect. So that's kind of a reaching argument to say you pick the perfect speeds where you hit the, you know, the terminal crushing ability of the substance. You're nowhere near pushing the metal atoms against the metal atoms. Okay, you still have lots of metal to bend, lots of air to push out. So that's just a canard. This whole excuse, so this is why it's 50% off, because cans don't crush regularly. Either do cars, but the fact is the total energy is going to be the same. The fact is that when the car hits the brick wall, it's applying pressure. And at different moments, the pressure will be different depending on what is bending and what isn't bending. So there'll be all kinds of variations in the pressure. That's why some parts fly off really fast, some parts fly off really slow. It's because they're all being affected by different amounts of pressure. So it'll all even out. And so the same is true for this tin can. It'll have an average pressure. But yeah, different parts of the can are under different amounts of stress. Some pieces of this metal are holding back 100 pounds of pressure. Some pieces are only holding back 12.
The more I crush it, the more it resists crushing.
So that, he hasn't even proved that to be true. So this is a Mythbusters episode. He's saying things he hasn't, you know, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence it gets harder. In fact, if you really do the experiment yourself, you'll figure out that it's really hard in the very beginning, and then it gets much easier for a while, and then gets hard again. So it's not consistent at all. And he just did the experiment with a substance designed to give them a consistency, clay. Clay is not a tin can. There's nothing about the clay that says, well, I'm rigid in how I'm made, and so you're going to have to apply 50 pounds of pressure to start me crushing, and then you'll only need 35 pounds of crush pressure once I start bending and breaking. It gets much easier. There's no evidence clay does that. So again, terrible comparison.
There's some complex physics going on.
All right, here. So there's some complexity is what the word they're going to use, when it couldn't be much more simple, right? You can't make it much more simple. How do you get simpler than just squishing shit and having it, you know, squish out of a tube, for example? You're just pushing water out of a hose. You can't make it much simpler in terms of your application of energy and your byproduct. You've gotten it pretty simple, pretty basic. And you've got it as an example in the cars themselves. And yet he's saying it's complicated. Complicated by what? What's complicated about the clay? What's complicated about the fact that the car crushes and it comes out exactly as momentum would predict? Is that the complication? Is it proves momentum is correct and there's no evidence of 1/2 mv². So that's why we use the word it's complicated.
But you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Apparently you do. I mean, apparently you have to be some kind of scientist to figure out the obvious, which is your evidence doesn't show what you're saying exists. And it doesn't show, it's not a little bit off. It's way the hell off. It's not even close to giving you the right answer.
Understand it.
And if you understand the context of the history, you'll understand that this was an argument made 300 years ago. People said, wait a minute, it doesn't work that way. Levers would be free energy devices if what you're saying are just true. It was a real argument 300 years ago where people said, yes, momentum says this is going to be the byproduct. You're going to get twice as much compression at twice the speed, twice as much pressure, twice as much weight. It's not four times the pressure. It's not four times the weight. It doesn't take four times the fuel to go twice as fast. Race car drivers know it.
The cars speak for themselves.
Right. So if the cars speak for themselves, why are you sitting there qualifying it by saying, well, the cars speak for themselves. Clearly, it's 50% off of our physics's prediction. And so that proves kinetic energy, right? It's 50% off. Isn't that exactly how it's supposed to come out? I mean, come on. Yeah, the facts are right there, glaring, pointing right to the obvious conclusion, which is, yeah, there's no evidence for kinetic energy, and there clearly is evidence against it. All right, and it's pretty strong evidence. So let's just understand the context. They did a clay experiment here, where I would argue it's got some good theory, okay? You're just squishing clay out. In the 1700s, they did some clay experiments where they dropped things into the clay, and the things happened to be round. And you could sort of understand that round is almost, okay, like an arrowhead. It's a shape. And when you interact with the clay with a shape, you're going to get a different outcome than if you don't have a shape. Okay, if you put a point on your arrow, it'll do something different than if there's no point on the arrow. And so those clay experiments indicated, you know, gave some indication that mv squared was right. I haven't seen that really, frankly. But anyway, let's just say it does happen. This clay experiment is pretty, it's even a step simpler. And it's, again, theoretically, you can't explain why where the defect is in this experiment, where you can explain defects in an experiment where you're dropping round objects into clay. All right. So I almost think that's enough, but I'll do one more little bit. All right, sort of as a prequel to the next video, which will probably be the lever argument again. Computer crash, though. Don't know exactly where I was before that happened, but anyway, I'll show this as a sort of a prequel to the lever argument and the oscillating argument. The fact that rationally you can understand that only one of these two theories can be right, momentum or kinetic energy. They both can't be definitions of energy or anything meaningful. They can't be definitions because what they're defining is the same thing. So you either conserve momentum or you conserve kinetic energy. And the argument would be is that there's no viability to the conservation of kinetic energy in any circumstance where you're transferring energy between objects of different mass. Because every time you hit something bigger, you're going to lose energy. And every time you hit something smaller, you're going to be making free energy. And you can't do that. So So Leavis play the video of, this is just another simple oscillator. I mean, it's a little more complicated than the Newton's cradle because it has four motions in it rather than two, but it just proves the point that the energy has to stay in the system. Whatever goes one way in gravity, the other thing has to go the other way in gravity. All right. I might need to draw something here, so frankly, I don't have my, well, I don't need it, I guess. So it's pretty simple. There's a part where both are moving. That's this circumstance. And then there's the little one moves with all the energy in the opposite direction. And that's the two cycles it goes through. So there it hits. Now the big one stops. All the energy is in the small object. It moves away. Then that crashes into the big object. It moves away at 1/6 the velocity, something like that. Now the trick is that, you know, you could visually look at this and then you could do what, you know, some people who don't know enough physics do, which is they could assume that the distance it travels is proportional to how much energy it has. And distance is irrelevant in this case because it's on a curved arc. So that's the part I probably should have drawn, but you can sort of see it over here. You know, when you're going on a curve, okay, how high you're going up in the gravity, that is the rate you're increasing your gravitational potential, is a curved line. It's not linear. So this part, you're able to travel a greater distance because you're moving a very small distance up. Here, you're moving a great deal of distance up for every tiny distance in this direction. So any tiny bit of distance as you get to the edges of their movement is a lot of increase in their gravitational potential. That is, that's the work against gravity. So the amount of work it's doing against gravity in these two circumstances is exactly the opposite. When you're just starting at the bottom of the circle, right? That's where these two balls are. They're at the bottom of the circle. Bottom of the circle, you can move quite literally for free. It's when you get to the edges, that's when you can't move for free anymore. And every millimeter will get expensive in terms of how much work you have to do. So the work is in this direction. This is free. So you can't use distance as a measure of how much energy something has, because the amount of distance is going to be very 1 millimeter here, you know, at this location, 1 millimeter at this location will be the same amount of work, that is work against gravity, of this whole distance. So 1 millimeter here is 10 millimeters here. You can move 10 millimeters here and do the same work against gravity that you did in this 1 millimeter. So this is where experiments can fool people. And you can just say, you know, you shouldn't be fooled. You know, that's physics. Physics is not being fooled. That's how you're supposed to be doing it. So anyway, so this looks like the big ball is moving kind of a lot, you know, like it has a lot more energy, but it really doesn't. It's just moving through the easy part, okay, the part that's pretty flat, okay? It isn't doing a lot of rising. It's rising 1/6 the amount of the other ball in terms of how much height it's gaining, because it's not going on the higher slope. It's not increasing the slope. All right, but anyway, just as an illustration of this is an oscillator. You understand that, see, it goes through the two different transitions, both of them moving, just the one moving. Both of them moving, just the one moving. And if you believed in the kinetic energy formula, you'd have to believe that the system loses energy when the big ball gets hit. And then when the big ball hits the small ball, it gains the energy back. Somehow it makes the energy again. So you'd have to believe in the destruction of energy and the creation of energy. And it doesn't, you know, doesn't make any sense. But momentum, no problem. Momentum says, yes, this is exactly what should happen. They're sharing the energy, and then it goes back to the original source. They share it, it goes back to the original source. And it's all the same amount of total momentum. Same amount of M and V, right? If you made the letters the size of the energy, it's the same amount. You can make the mass smaller and make the velocity bigger, or you can make the mass bigger and make the velocity smaller. But you can see it's just an oscillator. There's no, the whole thing isn't going somewhere. All the energy is right in there, and you have these, you know, you've reduced the losses to a minimum. Unfortunately, they didn't play it through. But anyway, you get the point, I would imagine. Well, we don't need that. Yeah, whatever it is, we don't need it. Thank you. Maybe next time. All right. So, so that's enough of a video. The evidence is in the environment already. Wrecking balls tend to be big, not small. All right. We saw that you can do the car crashes and you can measure the energy. No evidence, no physical experimental evidence showing it taking 4 times more fuel to make something go twice as fast. No evidence it works in electric motors. No evidence that like a turbine at a power plant makes 4 times the electricity when it just goes twice as fast. No evidence that happens. None. So they have nothing to defend this. Nothing. You know, except misinterpretations of obscure and, you know, creatively manipulated experiments. But I can't really even show you any of those that aren't filthy and crude and under quantified, under you know, not a very good examining scope. It's not very good video. Let's put it that way. All right. So, yeah, this shouldn't even be a conversation between reasonable humans. People who are honest and, you know, have some sort of care about doing things for the right way, have some sort of thing called integrity. They should recognize that, oh yeah, the evidence is way undercooked here. We really have no right to tell people they must believe. Certainly no right to do that. And we have every obligation to shore up our argument. If we're going to say there's such a thing as 1/2 mv², you should be able to come up with a physical proof that isn't directly contradicted by better evidence. I mean, all we have is experiments from the 1700s. They don't have any modern experiment showing kinetic energy. They can't show you a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour doing less work than a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. They can't show you any evidence of the energy difference between those two configurations of energy. They can't show you the twice as light thing going twice as fast, hitting the full mass thing going half as fast, and show you the lighter thing pushing, you know, winning the tug of war. They can't show you any evidence of this. And it's just kind of amazing. And it's got its roots in all of physics, this stupid formula that can't be defended with any physical evidence. And it's all over the place. It's in all of the particle physics. And it's just plainly erroneous. It's a gremlin theory. It's as bad as, you know, some religion. It's got nothing on its side. So why do I have to make these arguments? All right. So if somebody has, somebody can show me the video, the piece of evidence, the physical experiment proving, I'm waiting. Please show me. Or concede. You just don't care about the truth. You know, and you don't care about good science. I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, it's bad enough they don't repeat experiments like the Eddington experiment. They don't even have any here. They don't even have any experiments to repeat. All right. Enough of a rant. Okay, so this has been draftphysics.com and debatephysics.com. But who am I going to... There's nobody to debate. Nobody can make a reasoned argument refuting anything I said in this video. Nobody will rationally put together decent sentences explaining how anything I said in this video is incorrect. Just won't happen.